Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Magic with Zuby. My name is Zuby, in case you didn't know, and today we're going to be discussing a myriad of topics. Today's a solo episode, so sit back, relax, and ready to listen. Before we begin any further, just want to let you know that this podcast is featured on legitmtg.com. Definitely check them out. They are a really awesome website with a plethora of content, with not only podcasts such as myself, but also a lot of article and written content written by a lot of cool people there. Some really in-depth stuff, you know, going to tournaments and deck ideas, you name it, they got it. They also have a storefront where they sell Magic singles and even Yu-Gi-Oh singles if you're into that. And, you know, one of the cool things about them selling Magic singles is anything over $2 is free shipping. You know, that's just something you can't beat. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you need to buy $2 worth of cards. Oh, you know, free shipping. Boom. It comes out to $2. You know, because you go to other sites and you buy $5 worth of cards and shipping is like $7. Just think to yourself, yeah, screw that. You know, it's actually funny. Before I got featured on the website, I was looking through, I was actually sorting through my Magic collection the other day, and oh god, let me tell you, that is not fun. It's not fun. I've got two hotel boxes. It's only one and a half of them are filled up, and it's mostly just commons, uncommons, from Alpha all the way to Shadows over Innistrad to, you know, some other sets, you know, Commander and all that. So, as I was saying, I was going through all the places where I was keeping my cards, and I actually found out that I've ordered a bunch of stuff from Legit MTG. They even sent me some sticker or something that I have actually plastered on one of my my fat packs, which I was just thinking like, oh crap. Because what happened was eventually I stopped sorting my cards. Because, you know, and I'm sure a lot of Magic players get like this where you just, you know, oh, everything's in nice, neat order, and then, you know, a new set comes out, and you buy a couple boxes, and you open them all up, and you're just like, I don't feel like sorting them tonight, right now, and you just shove them in somewhere, and then they stay there for months at a time, sometimes half a year, maybe a year, and then what sucked was after I was done sorting everything out, oh my gosh, I had so much crap. What sucked about it was I found a little box full, probably with another 1,000 cards that were completely unsorted, that weren't part of my hotel boxes, and fuck, that really sucked. Let me tell you. So yeah, that was one of the little things I did over the weekend, which I gotta tell you, I don't know how you people do it, but whenever it comes to just sorting Magic cards, I just do it at my computer desk. I put on some Netflix or Hulu or whatever show just for noise and just sort and sort and sort. I'm not sure how other people do it. I read a lot of people sort it just by color, or they sort it by common, uncommon. I sort it by set, then color. And because I really like to, you know, have that, I don't know. You know, like when you're trying to build a deck and you look up like, oh, okay, this card was printed in this set, and that set. And, oh, okay, I have all these sets separated. Let me go find out where it is. Let's see. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a tangent. So, let's see. Magic with Zuby can also be found on facebook.com/Magic with Zuby. You can also catch me on Twitter at Magic with Zuby, or my personal Twitter at Zubatron. That's Zubatron. Where else can you find Magic with Zuby? Oh, other networks you can find Magic with Zuby, not only on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio. There's no excuse to not listen to this podcast. If you got, you know, an iPhone, there's the iTunes podcast app right there. Or if you got an Android, boom, you've got a lot more choices. Google Play, which is really good. I like that when I did have an Android for that little bit of time there. Excuse me. I just got done eating dinner and recording this. God, it's been a long day. I had a half day of work today and then decided to come home. I had to get off early so I could get my kids off of school because my wife was out busy doing some stuff. And so I got home early and I had an hour to kill, so I decided to mow the lawn. Oh yeah, instead of probably play some video games or some magic or something. God, you feel so responsible sometimes. And so I mowed the lawn, and then we had Tropical Storm Colin come through our area, aka just a little bit of wind and rain, but we did have lightning strike one of our trees, and yeah, there was a giant... Yeah, I guess it would be a branch, because it wasn't the whole tree, because the tree itself is like this giant oak tree, and one of its huge branches fell off. And yeah, my stepfather came and chainsawed that up, and just, oh god, that was even more work. So I was just pretty much adulting today, and then I grilled some chicken, which I got a new grill, by the way. And I've heard some people on Twitter say I should start a new podcast called Grilling with Zuby. But I don't think I would name it that. I think I would probably name it How to Burn Food with Zuby. Because that's all I'm doing right now is just burning my food. Because I'm just not really aware of, you know, the grill and the burner and all the temperature. I gotta figure it out. I haven't figured it out yet. So... where else with Magic with Zuby? I'm just going off on tangents right now. Yeah. So that's about it where you can find Magic with Zuby. There's also my other podcast that I have started up with my friend Matt Butler. We call ourselves the Super Matt Bros. We are aptly named VCR Gaming, which stands for Vintage Classic Retro Gaming. So we mainly talk about video games. And we talk about, you know, games that we're playing. We put challenges on each other. We talk about gaming news that's happening right now, gaming news that's happening that happened back then. We talk about some weird games that we may have never played, mainly a lot of Japanese games, which I got to say, what was it? Episode one or two? We talked about this weird Japanese game called Time Twist. And you got to look it up for yourself. Let's just say there's a big reason why it was never released on the Nintendo here in America. It dealt with Baby Jesus, the KKK, slavery, and Hitler. And yeah, this was a Japanese game. So it's absolutely bizarre. Oh, and Satan and all that too. So yeah. We talk about that episode one or two. I can't remember which one. So VCR Gaming, you can find pretty much in all the same places. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. We're not on TuneIn Radio yet. I don't think so. I can't remember if we've applied there yet or not. And yeah, we're four episodes in. It's just fun. My friend and I, the Super Matt Bros, we just BS with each other and have some fun. Definitely, if you're into video games, check it out. It's really good. It's funny. So on another thing that I'm actually working on right now, a little bit of a quote-unquote network, in a sense. This is just, it's still in its infancy. It's mainly going to be podcasts for now, but I am looking for writers. And it is called the Nerd Archetype Network. It is a sort of network of podcasts, you know, that are gaming related, magic related, or anime related, to really come together and just share all our content, you know, under one umbrella and just get our name out there. And like I said, we've had one podcast join up so far. I mean, besides Magic with Zuby and VCR Gaming, we've had one other podcast join up with us, and it is called The Anime-A-Thon by my good friend Alec, who was in the previous episode talking about drafting. And if I'm not much of an anime fan as much as I used to be. I used to be really into anime, and then I stopped watching anime and got really into manga, and just sort of time went by, and I couldn't keep up with it all because there was so many anime and manga I followed week to week and just read them all, watch them all. But even though I'm not into anime that much now, the Animeathon is actually really good. They do a really good job of keeping that visual picture of what's going on in each episode. So definitely check them out. They're on iTunes right now. I can't remember if they got on Google Play yet or not, but yeah, like I said, check them out. Oh yeah, that reminds me of speaking of networks, Magic Mizubi is also found on mtgcast.com, an awesome place to check out a whole bunch of other Magic the Gathering podcasts. There are a lot out there, and it seems like every time I feel like venturing into something new that, a podcast I haven't heard, boom, there's one that, and depending on how it is, if the thing that really gets me, and I can't really talk for myself because I know my audio quality is bad. There's just so many podcasts out there with horrible audio quality. Let's just say if I have to turn you up enough to hear you, I'm most likely not going to listen to you. But that's beside the point. There's a lot of good podcasts out there, a lot of good Magic the Gathering content and podcasts out there, and MTGcast is the place to go to really check them out. So, getting on to the actual little bit of the meat of the show. I can't remember if I did talk about it in the last episode that I was probably going to head to a Legacy IQ, and let's just talk about that right away. I went, I came, and I lost. So, hold on. Just got to water the old lips there. Talking by yourself for, over 10, 12 minutes long, your lips start to get a little dry and your mouth gets a little parched. So, the Legacy IQ, I will definitely name drop. It's not really name drop, but give a shout out to the Game Academy in Tampa for hosting the event. They did really awesome. The owner there is really cool. I forgot his name. I want to say it's like Robert or Josh or something. I really forgot his name, but he was a really cool guy. And I was honestly expecting maybe 10 to 12 people coming to play Legacy. No, we had almost 30 people show up at this Legacy IQ. And I was just thinking, well, first I was thinking, well, it's not going to be that many people because in my area, especially, there's not a lot of people that play Legacy at all. It's mainly standard. And it's just now modern is starting to get popular. So seeing that there was this many people for Legacy was really exciting, actually. Like, I had no, aspirations or even thoughts that I was gonna, top eight or anything like this. This is my first time playing Paper Legacy, at an actual real event. I've played plenty of online Legacy on Cockatrice and Xmage, mainly for practice, but to me, it's just not the same. You get that practice and you start to know your deck, but you go to a comp REL event and you're never going to know what you're going to up against. So, since I don't have my elf deck done yet, I took my mono green stompy deck. So, let me go over this deck real quick. Do, 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 do. I should have had this ready for you guys. That's my Legacy Elves, mono green stompy. You can also find me on Tapped Out. .net. Tappedout.net's my favorite deck building website. I'm under there under Zubatron, and I put every single deck that I've ever drafted physically, not online, because if I did that, oh my gosh, I'd have so many draft decks on there. But I have every single draft deck that I've ever drafted physically on there because I like to do that and just go back and look at what I drafted over the years, because to me it's kind of fun. But I also have like every casual deck, EDH deck, modern Legacy standard, many standard from previous standard decks, previous standards, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Whatever the fucking the grammar is. But all right. So I did change up my mono green stompy deck for this tournament. I was really reading up, you know, how best to really prepare, even though Stompy is not really good, because the one card that would make it even better is something I didn't want to drop the money for, since this is really a budget Legacy deck. And that card that I'm talking about, where is it? Why isn't it showing up? Berserk. Why isn't it showing up? That's weird. Hold on. Yeah, why isn't it showing up? Oh, I had filters on. Okay. So yeah, usually what I've read up that a lot of mono green Stompy decks have is Berserk, which is a one green instant. Cast Berserk only before the combat damage step. Target creature gains trample and gets plus X plus O until end of turn, where X is its power. At the beginning of the next end step, destroy that creature if it attacked this turn. So usually, you know, you pump it up with Giant Growth or Mutagenic Growth or Groundswell, and then you play Berserk on top of it. But I didn't really feel like dropping $90 per card. So that'd be what, $260 a place for a playset? Yeah, no, I didn't feel like dropping that much money. So instead, my deck turned out to be 10 land Stompy, which you may first think, Zuby, why are you playing 10 lands in a Stompy deck? Well, let me tell you this here. It may be 10 lands, but there's also 4 land grants, which land grants is the, you know, one in a green where if you have no land cards in hand, you may reveal your hand instead of paying land grants mana costs. Search your library for a forest card and put that card into your hand. And even though I'm revealing my hand and they can write it down, it's, I don't care, I'm getting a forest out. You know, you see what I'm playing, boom, I'm going to kill you. The creatures that I have are Avatar of the Resolute, which that stayed in there from a previous, revision of it. I should really take that out. There's got to be something better. Was it that lion, Savannah Lion, or not Savannah Lion, crap, or Tiger, is that, there's some green Tiger Lion that's better. It's like a 2/1, but can't block or something. Dryad Militant, holy crap. Even though, God, I only won like 3 games out of the 5 rounds that I played in, Dryad Militant was definitely a killer card. That every time I had that out, they would try to get rid of it ASAP. Experiment one, Nettle Sentinel, which was a new addition, which at first I was kind of, because I saw a bunch of other decks have Nettle Sentinel, and I'm just saying to myself, it makes sense though, you know, because I'm mono green and it's easy to untap. And then I had, how do you say this? Scargan Pit Skulk. He turned out to be pretty decent too. He definitely play in the second main phase with his Bloodthirst. And then Strangleroot Geist and Young Wolf. I had 10 Forests, had Giant Growth, Groundswell, Hunger of the Howl Pack, which I could probably definitely get rid of and maybe put in 2 more Mutagenic Growth. I only had 2 of those. Vines of Vastwood, Land Grant, and Rancor. My sideboard, the one downside to this event, maybe I could have done better, but I have 2 Dismember written down on my sideboard, but I actually ordered some Dismembered on TCG Player, but they never came, and you know, I got my money back and refunded, but I went to 3 different stores to see if they had any Dismember. It's like, where did they all go? Why is Dismember all of a sudden just absent? So, I had a 13-card sideboard. So, minus the 2 Dismember, I had 1 Choke. Which, did I go up against a blue deck? Oh my gosh, out of the 5 decks I played, I didn't go up against a single blue deck. Oh my gosh, that's insane. So, Choke was completely useless for me. Grafdigger's Cage, which, that card is real. Croson Grip, which, I had no freaking clue. When some of you people may be hearing this and just thinking, what the fuck, does he even know what he's doing? No, that's one thing that you have to know about me. I never know what I'm doing. That's my secret, Captain. I never know what I'm doing. you know, Incredible Hulk style. So Nature's Claim, three of those, Tormod's Crypt, and Winter Orb. Winter Orb actually went to work for me. That definitely helped me, especially against Burn. So yeah, while the deck itself isn't that great, I managed to win three games, win one round. If you followed me on Twitter, you'll know which one it is. So let's see, round one was against Burn, and I don't think I've ever faced Legacy Burn, and let's just say I 0-2'd really quick. It was really bad. It was really quick. It was bad. I wasn't mad or anything. I came in with the attitude of, I know I'm going to lose. I just really need to get the Legacy experience under my belt to just really understand what the format is, what the meta is, what the cards are. You know, because I remember playing with a lot of these cards when I was a kid, but, you know, you didn't really put the competitive aspect into them because you didn't really know what the heck you were doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. Next round was against Elves, the very deck that I'm building. I gotta say, when I saw my opponent do what turn one play, I think what a Bayou then went into Deathrite Shaman turn one, I actually squealed. I'm like, are you playing Elves? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is the deck that I'm trying to build right now. And I got really excited and we just started chit-chatting. I mean, he beat me easily. Both games, he just crater hoofed really fast. Actually, game two, he managed to turn two kill me. I can't remember all the lines of play, but I just asked him, like, are you about to crater hoof me? He's like, yeah, I'm trying to. And he's like, why are you, do you want to scoop? I'm like, no, I just want to see the combo. Like, I just do it. I want to see you do it. I'm like, I'm excited. And he was actually a really cool guy. We chit chatted for a little bit and we just talked about, you know, the different, you know, the two elves, the regular Legacy elves and the Chaos elves. And we just talked all thing elves, you know, modern elves, Legacy elves, standard elves. And yeah, he was a fellow elf player. So it got me kind of excited. Next round was Burn again. Though I did manage to win a game against him, even though he ended up beating me in games 1 and 3, I managed to beat him game 2 because I think he had to mull down to four or five, and he just had nothing. Kept on drawing lands, and luckily for me, I beat him. But yeah, game 3 was just another miserable, miserable game. I mean, it makes it sound like I'm complaining. It was just one of those, oh, ow, you're killing me. Ow, you're killing me. Ow, that hurts. I mean, it did what Burn does, which is just kill you quickly. So the next round, round 4, by the way, when they posted standings, I was in last place, which that's okay. It's fine. I knew coming in I wasn't going to do well. So next game was against Dredge. And I've heard all things about Dredge. I don't think I've ever faced it online in all my quote-unquote play testing. But let's just say game one was over really quickly. He just threw up his deck into his graveyard and killed me. Of course, I let him do it all. I let him do all the moves. And because I was just really curious. Like, all right, I want to see how this is going to kill me. So I let him do it. And then games 2 and 3, I sideboarded in Grafdigger's Cage. Oh, what else did I sideboarded in Grafdigger's Cage. Was it Grafdigger's Cage, Tormod's Crypt? Yeah, Tormod's Crypt and Winter Orb. And game 2, I managed to get Dryad Militant out turn 1. And then, yeah, turn 1, Dryad Militant and Tormod's Crypt turn 1, and then I was just waiting for him to just basically spit up his graveyard, and as soon as he did, I just exiled his graveyard before he could pull anything off. Because in game 1, I was asking about a lot of the cards, like, oh, what does this card do? Oh, okay, how did you get this out? Just to, you know, for my own sake, to try to understand what Dredge is doing here. And it wasn't manaless Dredge, it was, he definitely had mana out. And then game 3 came, And turn one, I got Grafdigger's cage out, and that was just a lockdown right away. He didn't have anything to answer Grafdigger's cage, so I just beat him down, and I gotta say, I was pretty excited. Like, on the outside, I was being all professional and be like, oh yeah, good job, mm-hmm, yeah. On the inside, I'm like, oh my god, I just won my first Legacy round ever. And I was acting like a little schoolgirl right there. But yeah, I was pretty excited. And then next round was against Death and Taxes. And let me tell you, I don't think there was anything I could do. He just locked me down, killed my crap, and I wasn't mad or anything. I was just like, oh, so this is Death and Taxes. Oh, okay. Ow, you killed me. Okay, cool. I mean, it was still... The one thing I really liked about with everyone was I told them, you know, hey, I'm still really new to Legacy. You know, I'm still trying to learn all the cards and the format and, you know, the meta and all that. And anytime I had a question, everybody was more than happy to show me their cards, show me their deck after the round. You know, because I was genuinely curious, like, all right, so, you know, how do you, you know, what do you put in? Or they let me look at their deck and, you know, and I'm not saying... And when you go to Modern or Standard, people are jerks there too, but it, I don't want to make it seem like Legacy is all, you know, we're better than you, or they're better than you, but it was definitely a much more open atmosphere, I guess, or maybe it was just the group of people there, because everybody was just really friendly, and, you know, anytime I had a question, they would ask, and, you know, and there was a few times where I guess I misread a card or something, and I'm just like, oh no, it does this. And they're like, oh no, no. Well, you see, it does this, this, and that. And then we're, you know, just like, all right. You know, one of them, I can't remember. It was like during a burn match. And I guess I got confused about what way the stack worked, or it was something. I can't remember. And the guy was just really nice, and I apologized for getting it wrong. And I was just it was a really fun time. Even though I did completely abysmal, it was just overall a really fun time. And, you know, and then I talked to the owner of the store and just asked him, like, oh, you know, what do you guys do for Legacy? And he told me they have, like, a small group of people. He was actually, I think he was surprised, too, at the amount of people showed up. I think it, altogether, it was, like, 28 people that showed up. So, yeah, overall, it was a really good time, and I would definitely be down to do another Legacy IQ. It's only gotten me more excited to get my Legacy Elf deck built. Oh, man, here we go. So, as far as the main board is concerned for my Legacy deck, hold on, I'm going to just pull up my tapped out, my list. You can probably guess which cards I'm going to need. Natural Order. I need a playset of Natural Order, which I'm hoping with Eternal Masters coming out, Natural Order goes down. Even if it's like a few dollars. Because I've got my playset of Glimpse of Nature and Green Suns. I've got all the creatures except the two Crater Hoof, which I'm probably going to be buying next. And then as far as main board goes, I need the four Gaia's Cradle. Oh, God. And the two Bayou. Two Bayou, I'm not that, you know, worried about buying since I only need two of them. I don't need a playset. Excuse me. Dang, I didn't even eat that much, but I don't know why I'm hiccuping and all that shit. But the Gaia's Cradle, I'm just not looking forward to buying those. I'm going to do my best to try and get a deal on them from someone. Even if I got to buy one at a time. I mean, the sideboard is... It's like halfway built, but I'm focusing on the main board right now, and then I'll focus on the sideboard. I like that Sylvan Library got reprinted, and hopefully that will make it go down and for Eternal Masters. So, yeah, the one thing that Legacy IQ did do was just make me that much more excited about playing more Legacy. And... Yeah, like I said, it's going to take me a while to finish my Elf deck, but to me, it's worth it. Now that I actually have a place where I can actually go and play Legacy, oh yeah. The only downside is it's about an hour away, but it's worth it. If they're going to have more Legacy tournaments, maybe every couple months, I'm down for it. I'm definitely going. So, In other constructed news, Standard is going pretty meh for me. I don't know what it is. I'm just not that excited about Standard this time right now. And it's because even when Abzan was dominating Standard, I still could come up with cool decks to play, like mainly like Jeskai and Teemer, and you know, even Sultai, just come up with crazy stuff. And I don't know, I just feel maybe it's only because I'm getting too competitive in Standard that I want to do better. You know, I was playing Bant Company for a while there, and then that's been sort of hated out. And then now that Humans is becoming popular, Green-White Tokens is becoming popular. It just feels like Green and White are extremely powerful right now. And if you're not playing those two colors, what are you doing? I am playing Grixis Control right now. And while it's fun, I guess. I mean, I've played it a few FNMs and I've done 50-50, you know, went even 2-2 or 3-3. Or 3-2, you know, nothing great. It's still, I don't know, just something about it, it just doesn't feel fun. Maybe I'm just a little burned out on Standard and just too excited about Modern and Legacy right now, where, you know, they feel a little bit newer, and Standard just feels sort of eh, I guess. I mean, I don't know how better to describe it. It's just eh. And like I said, who knows, maybe Eldritch Moon will shake things up, like how Oath of the Gatewatch made Battle for Zendikar cards better. Maybe Eldritch Moon will make certain Shadows over Innistrad cards better, but we just have to wait and see. Last FNM I went to, I played Grixis Control and lost against Black-White Control, lost against Seasons Past. What did I beat? Green-Black Aristocrats, and I got a bye. So, 2-2. So, not that great. Yeah. What else? And as far as Standard goes, that's about it. In Commander news, I managed to finally play my Rally deck with Munda, the Ambush Leader, is it? Is it Munda? Munda Ally Rampage. Yeah, Munda Ambush Leader. Which, you know, it's not the greatest commander, which Erois is a better commander for, but it was just a fun deck to play. Really it's a beatdown deck. Definitely one of those you know, just beat the other person's face, and there's really no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no, you know, cool spells or anything like that. It's just you're playing a bunch of allies that, you know, go off with each other every time you play a new one, and you just beat face. That's about it. It was fun. I mean, I lost every time I played it, but it was a fun deck. It was definitely fun when I got, which one was it? Tuk Tuk Scrapper out, and people would just moan and groan every time I got a new ally out. Tuk Tuk Scrapper, if you're not sure, is a 3 and a red. Whenever Tuk Tuk Scrapper or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, you may destroy target artifact. If that artifact is put into a graveyard this way, Tuk Tuk Scrapper deals damage to that artifact controller equal to the number of allies you control. So, there was definitely a point in the game where I got that out pretty early, and then just started getting more allies out, and every time they would try to play an artifact, you know, oh, blew up your soul ring, oh, blew up that, oh, blew up this, boom. But he died pretty quickly after that. It was still fun though. The other EDH deck I'm slowly working on, by slowly I mean I'm probably gonna buy the cards pretty soon, is a dragon deck. So I'm kind of torn between what I want to do. Do I want to make it more, I guess, because Scion the Ur-Dragon's going to be my commander, of course. But do I want to make it more, you know, general, where I get all the really good dragons and so where I could win games? Or do I want to do something a little bit more fancy like I did with my God deck and just use Because I'm thinking of get Scion the Ur-Dragon just so I have all five colors, but get maybe just use all the Dragon Lords from Tarkir, you know, both their Fate Reforged copies and then their Dragons of Tarkir copies. Maybe get some of their underlings out. Maybe I can also get the Khans from, you know, Khans of Tarkir in, just sort of to show that, hey, you know, we were once in power, now the Dragon Lords are. And of course, I'm going to have all copies of Sarkhan or Sarkhan in the deck, because he basically produces dragon. Or I was also thinking along the lines of, you know, still have all the Dragon Lords and the Dragon Lord babies, but also put in the other ones like the Jund dragons, the other three color dragons, you know, from Commander and other sets. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I mean, I might just go with just pure dragons for all the creatures except for, no, I think I'm just going to use all dragons. I don't think I want to use anything but a dragon as far as creatures go, and have all spells dragon related, you know, like Crux of Fate is one of them. So yeah, there's that. I'm still debating on it, and it's probably not going to be a very good deck. It's going to be a fun deck. Just like my god deck is pretty fun when I have like 10 gods out and they're all activated and online off each other. That's always fun. So yeah, that's about it for EDH. Is there anything else going on with Constructed news? I haven't drafted lately. I just haven't had time. The last topic I want to talk about is, this has just been something discussed to death. Probably not going to add anything new to it. And I've talked about this for a few episodes now, and that's MTG Esports. And now it's talking about the coverage, or lack thereof coverage, that Wizards has decided to input, that they're only going to be, you know, having coverage after a new set comes out, you know, and pick one Grand Prix to cover. And, you know, there's been a lot of disdain for that, where, you know, you really want to try to promote your game, you really want to try to promote esports, but if you're not going to show it on Twitch or YouTube or anything like that, what's the point? Why not just give all the recording rights to someone like Star City Games? You know, can you imagine if, you know, because I'd always think about that, because look at StarCraft, for example. Now, this is just going to be my knowledge, because I stopped following StarCraft right about when Heart of the Swarm came out. So I think my knowledge is going to be a little bit old, or maybe out of date, because I know Blizzard now has their own tournament series, like WCS, World Championship Series, I guess. But I know before they even came out with that, StarCraft, you know, Blizzard didn't have any really quote-unquote official tournament league, not like how Wizards does Grand Prix and PTQs and Pro Tours. But StarCraft had a lot of, you know, other companies providing tournaments. You know, there was NASL, North American StarCraft League, DreamHack, which is still around. Where were some of the other ones? I know Team Liquid did a bunch of StarCraft tournaments. Even IGN, I think, did some. I mean, that's beside the point of who did it, but why not Wizards do something like that, where I feel like they almost need to get away from having any official tournaments or anything like that, and why not just give all the tournament rights, and I don't even know if you'd call it rights or what, or I don't know the whole legality of it, but why not just have Wizards just focus on making the sets and making them as balanced as they can be, and give someone like Channel Fireball or Star City Games the quote-unquote tournament circuit. I mean, it'd almost be the best of both worlds when you think about it, because that way, you know, those companies can put on the tournaments, provide the tournaments, and we all know Star City Games puts on the best looking tournaments, and they provide the best coverage out there. And this isn't sort of like a circle jerk around them, but, you know, it's a serious thought to where, why not give them the ability, just give them all the tournaments. Why not? You know, not only would that allow them to have themselves grow, you know, as a company to where, hey, they could hire more people, you know, because there's tournaments on both the East Coast and West Coast and the middle of the United States. You know, that does beg the question for what do they do for Europe and Asia, since I know there's a lot of do they have Grand Prix in Africa? I don't know. Do they have them in South America? Maybe. I don't know. Well, anyways, besides the point, why not just give, you know, a company here and there, you know, region control? Like, hey, you know, this company takes over Europe, this one takes over Asia, Africa, blah, whatever, you know. And it's sort of similar to what StarCraft does, because StarCraft over in Korea has the GSL. And KESPA. Is KESPA still around? I don't even know. I don't follow it anymore. I'm all about Magic, baby. But, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it wouldn't probably be the easiest transition if they did something like that. It would make sense in the long run. That way, we're not having to rely on Wizards for coverage. That would fix the coverage problem. And would also, you know, give, I don't know, other companies a fighting chance. That why not have them get better sponsors too? But yeah, that also comes to the point to where I talked about before, where Magic is not the easiest game to watch, and it's not. It's really not. So, I don't know. That was just a really big thought, and that's been a whole big hubbub around online, that Wizards just needs to actually, you know, have coverage of these tournaments and, you know, do something about it. Because them only covering, what, a couple Grand Prix a year, and how many Pro Tours are there a year? Like 4, I think, and then the World Championships, and that's not enough. It's, like I said, if you really want to get your brand out there, you need to constantly do something about it. So, like I said, I feel like I've talked about this to death, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm tired of it. But it just seems like it keeps coming up, and it's just the same people giving the same excuses as to why Wizards isn't doing, you know, the coverage thing, and it's just, it's frustrating in a sense. Well, you know, I understand that putting on tournaments costs money, but I don't know. It's sort of a, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because since Magic doesn't get a lot of people watching, what's the point? You know, why have these companies keep doing it for, you know, minimal viewers? I don't know. So, what else is going on? Yeah, I figure this is just going to be a pretty short podcast, and not a whole lot's going on in Magic with me right now. Like I said, I'm building that Legacy deck, and Standard's meh. I haven't played Modern lately. I've been so busy. Having a house is just, no, I mean, not that having a house is bad. It's just, no, I'm just so busy all the time. It's almost like before, where I rented and the tree fell, you know, tree fell in my yard. I could just call someone and call the landlord and be like, hey, a tree fell. Can you get someone to come get it? Now it's like, well, shit, I got to take care of it. And then we had a tropical storm come by, and I'm just thinking, well, shit, let me look up my homeowner's insurance policy and let's see what it covers. I mean, I have the full homeowner's insurance, but I'm just thinking to myself, oh, shit. Because, you know, before I would just have renter's insurance, and something happened to the house, be like, hey, landlord, go fix it. And it's not like that anymore. That's what happens when you grow up an adult. Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I guess that's it. It's been pretty short. I've been used to a lot of these long podcasts I've been doing, and it's kind of weird not to even have one that's an hour, but you know what? That's what happens. You know, sometimes shorter is better, maybe, sometime. But yeah, just want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening, and like I said, you can find me at Zubatron on Twitter. Oh, yeah, you can always email me any questions or comments that you have, mtgzubi@gmail.com. That's mtgzubi@gmail.com. Yeah, that's about it. have a good day, everybody, and keep on slinging them spells. All right, I'm out.